Listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Reading from Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse 8. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put ye on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, as if any man have a quarrel against any. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. So far we read God's holy and perfect word. Let's come before Him through Christ, asking that we will be led into all the truth of that word. The Lord Jesus said when the Spirit comes, He would do many things, but one of them would be that He would lead into all truth. I fear that we are far from that today, with all the divisions and the separations. Let's pray that we will be made one in the truth, that we might be one in Christ. Our Father, we come to Thee through Him who is the way, the truth, and the life. We pray that we might know, as Paul could say here to the church at Colossae, Christ is all and in all. And as he could say earlier in this epistle, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Help us to see that, Father, that all our needs have been and can be and must be met in Him, that He has paid the price, and that we now need the application of it by Thy Word and Spirit, that we may do as Paul is here stating many things earlier, and then in this chapter, if you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Thou, Lord Jesus, art sitting on the right hand of the Father. We pray that we might be made Thy footstool. We pray that we might be the ones that in Thy love Thou wilt chasten and rebuke wherever we need it, that we might come to repentance, that we might then come to faith in Thee, having Thee to wash away our sins and making them white as snow, as we have sang. And then, Father, that we might also have the blessings of strengthening, being made obedient, being given a faith which worketh by love, that we may have that more and more. If we do not have it, that we might have the beginning of it, for Thy glory, for our good, and for the good of others throughout the whole world. We pray, Father, for the spiritual blessings first, reviving in the church and awakening and salvation in the world. We pray, Father, also for the blessings needed for those suffering in the flesh, those in sickness, injury, pain, sorrow, lonesomeness. We pray for the broken homes that they might be healed, the children in those homes that they might be led by Thy Spirit through and because of Christ, that they may not continue in the wayward way of their parents. We pray, Father, for the needs in the workplace, the needs in the schools, the needs in government. We pray for our leaders and the leaders of every nation, that Thou would put Thy fear in their hearts, and that we might then have and be able to lead a quiet and peaceable life. We give thanks for the measure of that we have in our nation. We pray for it where it is not known, where there is terrible strife and suffering and fear and death and injury and sorrow. We pray, Father, for peace on earth, goodwill toward men through the gospel. We pray for those that are homeless, those that are hungry, the sick and the injured. We pray, Father, for any other need that there is, all through Christ Jesus. Amen. As we continue here, this epistle to a church which has had these blessings and is having the blessings described and yet exhorted along the way, stating what they do have, but continuing in urging, as it were. Again, those words, the first verse of this third chapter, if ye be then risen with Christ. The question is there in the word if. Not all in the church are risen with Christ. Some, sadly, make a profession with the rest, but do not experience that rising with Christ, that power of His resurrection, which Paul knew, and he knew the need of it further, and he wanted that for them here as well. He spoke to them of the past as well as the present, and as we saw last week, verse 8, but now have ye put off these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing you have put off the old man with his deeds. Evidently, to a great extent, they had done that. We cannot say that today in the church. As I've often said, we have the sad proof of so many broken homes, many that have showed anger and malice and lied one to another, lied one of another as well, not putting off the old man, but clinging to the old man and clinging to self rather than denying self and taking up their cross and following Christ, taking evil and doing what we read further in this third chapter, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any. Even as Christ forgave you, so do also ye. And I would urge each one, especially in homes that have been broken, if you have not forgiven, then you aren't being forgiven and will not be forgiven. Christ said it very plainly in the Sermon on the Mount. One thing he repeated in that prayer that he taught us, we called it the Lord's Prayer. He said, if you do not forgive those that are indebted to you, neither will your Heavenly Father forgive you. Husbands and wives should repent and be reconciled. Sometimes it's too late. Sometimes it cannot be done. But there still can be forgiveness, and there must be forgiveness if we are to be forgiven. Christ makes that plain here, as Christ forgave you, because he died for those sins that we can be then forgiven for. And we need that. We must never forget the beginning of this church. The beginning was forgiveness. The beginning was being quickened together. And now they are urged on in their sanctification. Now they are urged on, as Paul described it in his letter to the church at Rome, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Here is part of the thanks to God and the obedience to him and the beginning of love to God and love to our neighbor. The last words we read were, and be ye thankful. We're living in the period of time, this time of the year when we are called to thanksgiving, have been called by our forefathers and continue to be called, thankfully, in our present time. And we have much to be thankful for. Nothing to really complain about except ourselves. We are so much more blessed than so many others. And we should see that how thankful we ought to be when others will even put up with us. That we can be thankful for that and not be in a complaining mood and accusing mood. That which, again, often leads to the separation in the home and separation from one or another, brothers and sisters, friends, business, church, everywhere. These here had put off these, and we must put them off if we still have any of it left. That's what Paul had to urge on the church at Corinth. He says, you're still babes. He says, you have divisions. You take each other to court. There was this anger and this evil doing. But here he says, you have put it off. But then in the ninth verse he says, lie not one to another. He is still giving them a commandment. He didn't say, you formerly lied, and now you don't lie at all anymore. He says, lie not one to another, seeing you have put off the old man with his deeds. The old man is self, just simply our self. Christ said, except you deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. Another place he said that we have to hate any and all that stand in our way, even if it's in our family. And then in the end he says, and hate your own life also. There's much in our life to hate. Hate the many things we did wrong. And hate them, if even worse, if they continue or repeat themselves in our present life as a child of God. And that's who he is speaking to here when he says, lie not one to another, seeing you have put off the old man with his deeds. It's almost like somebody coming in out of the cold, putting off their coat, and he telling them what to do as they continue to take off their cold clothes. And he says, you're taking it off, you have put it off, but sometimes it's not finished, and not especially the other, which follows, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. We ended the message last week, after warning against anger and the ways of the flesh, to put on Christ. He's the answer. When Paul wrote to another church, the church at Rome, he stated, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Actually, in the Greek, the word fulfill and thereof isn't there. It's put in to probably make it somewhat smoother reading and listening to it. But actually it is, make not provision for the flesh the lust. Directly to what is there. Don't make provision for it. It's terrible if we make provision for it and then open the way to it. And that's what Paul is here also stating. He has stated earlier the ways of the flesh, the immorality in verse 5, and then the anger and the malice in verse 8. But he ends again with going back to the same thought of verse 5 in the last part of the 8th verse, filthy communication out of your mouth. That filthiness could be anger. That filthiness could be foolish talking, as Paul warned another church at Ephesus. Foolish talking and jesting. It can be many things, but it can be foolish, and here it is, filthy communication out of your mouth. God has given us a mouth to speak. The first good thing we do with it is confess our sin. If we confess our sin rightly, according to Scripture, we will be forgiven. And then we can confess Christ as the way of forgiveness. When Paul wrote to the church at Rome, he said, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's what we should do with our mouth. And that will be in thanksgiving to God. Thankful that he has given Christ. Thankful he has given us forgiveness because of Christ. Thankful he has given us the Holy Spirit to lead us to that and teach us of the need of it. Until the time of the Spirit coming, we don't see it. We don't believe it. We're dead in sin. Often in pride. So we need to be thankful to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And how thankful we can be for the Word of God through which he teaches us these things. And tells us that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We can both be thankful and fearful. We have a word here directly from heaven. Though written by Paul, it was from God to Paul, and then through Paul to the church at Corinth and to us. Is it any wonder that the Old Testament prophet already wrote, to this man will I look, to him who is poor and of a contrite heart, and trembleth at my word. Do these words fit us in the church? Have we come to that place through the word? Have we put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of our mouth by the teaching of the word? Have we stopped lying one to another according to the word? It goes way back to when God spoke to Israel not to bear false witness against one another, not to lie to each other, not to lie of each other. And then seeing you have put off the old man with his deeds. Again, we refer back to the church at Corinth. Paul says, are you not yet carnal? Aren't you fleshly? Isn't there too much of the old man there that they hadn't grown out of, being babes and beginning to do what God called them to do in repentance and in faith. And if we have too much of the old man, sadly, those people in their old state were proud. Paul spoke of them as being puffed up. That's what happens as long as we think the old man is all right. We keep the old man in our pride. We think there's not so much wrong. It's all right. The apostles showed the ways of the old man right up to the death of Christ. Right after he instituted the Lord's Supper, they argued among themselves who was the greatest. That was the old man, the old men. Thankfully, they lost it. And later they were described as being in one place, in one accord, in prayer and supplication. No arguing who was the greatest. They had now put on Christ. He alone was the greatest. Has he ever become the greatest to you? And self, the sinner? First, the lost sinner? And then, the saved sinner? That's what these people were. Saved sinners. He said, you've put off the old man with his deeds. Earlier in verse 7, he said, in the which you also walked sometime when ye lived in them. That was their old man. Those were the ones that God saved. Christ died for, gave them new life. Going back to verse 6 again in the second chapter, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. That's all we need. And we need him in all things. As we read the last part of verse 11, but Christ is all and in all. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever, all in all, at all times. There with the Father before the foundation of the world, there with the Father in creating the world, now with the Father in upholding all things by the word of his power. And as we read in that first chapter here to this letter to this church, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. That has to be there. It's not just I do this or I do that. It's first of all, Christ. I need Christ. I need the Lord Jesus who said just before his death, without me you can do nothing. That must be known. And only then can we start to do these things if we are risen with Christ. That's how Paul begins this chapter. And that's part of what he now is saying when he said in verse 10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. When Paul wrote to the church at Rome, chapter 8, he said, whom God foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. Here he says, renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. The image of Christ. When Paul writes to the church of the Hebrews, he said, God hath in his last days spoken to us by his Son, by whom he created the worlds. And here, the image of him that created him. He said the same thing in the beginning of this chapter. Verse 16 of chapter 1, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And not only is that true, but he did it the way he said he did it in the scripture. As Moses could repeat later, in 6 days God created the heaven and the earth. He tells us he did it. He tells us when he did it, in the beginning. He tells us how he did it. He spoke and it was done and it was good. And he tells us in what period of time he did it. Each day along the way in Genesis 1. And then later, as I just mentioned, Moses saying, "For in 6 days God created the heavens and the earth. And he created all things in it, including mankind." And now he has to recreate after man sinned. He had to send his son to pay the price on the cross. And as he tells us twice in that first chapter, that it was paid for by the blood of Christ. All of that is part of the whole of God's message to us in his word. And this part is part of the whole as well. What we are now to do. Put on the new man. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, as we read from Romans chapter 13. Much the same message to each church, sometimes spoken in slightly different words, but all the same message. And basically, repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and then obedience and thanksgiving to both, and to the Spirit as well, and to love our fellow men as ourself, and to realize that all together have sinned, and when we are saved together, then we have not only the renewal after Christ, after the Father, after the Spirit, according to the Word, but in verse 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. No difference. Paul had spoken of that in another letter to another church as well, the church at Rome, when he says, "Are we better than they?" And his answer comes back, "In no wise. We have together become unprofitable." But we can also together be saved and become profitable, like Paul was, and these Colossians were, and others were. To the Philippians, he said, "After they were saved, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." He said that they shone as lights in this evil and corrupt world. And that's what we need today. We have as well, as we said last week, a perverse nation, a nation that has been so blessed. We have so quickly gone away from the faith of our very first forefathers. And though there have been some times of returning to it in awakenings and revivings, sadly, they were often short and didn't last like they should have and could have and be a salt in the whole nation, which we so much need today and of which Christ warned. And we need to take heed to his warning. Listen to the voice of Christ.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship. Praise the Lord.